Everybody, welcome to the press. It's the final show for this week. We're going to talk about the BMW PGA Championship today, which is the flagship event of the DP World Tour. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being with us. We've got a good field this week at Wentworth. I think 14, 15 of the world top 50. Every single player on the European Ryder Cup team is playing. That was probably a condition of being part of this because the European Tour, DP World Tour, owns the largest share of the European side of the Ryder Cup. So, you know, you're on the team, you're going to play this thing. And this is also a very important event for the DP World Tour. They moved it to September, starting in 2019, really to coincide with the move of the PGA Championship from August to May, to make sure that the PGA Tour season ended right around the end of August or the beginning of September. And then the DP World Tour saw an opportunity to say, look, we can be the big event in September with this tournament. We'll have our best players come over and play. COVID happened. 2020 was weird. 2021 was weird, but that wasn't too weird. And 2022, it was kind of back to where it was. And this week, it's, a $9 million purse for this event. This is an Ernie Els redesign of a classic course, Wentworth. There are two courses here. It's a really exclusive club. It's owned by a Chinese business group, businessman these days. And apparently, it's super ritzy to get into, especially compared to other kind of country clubs and golf clubs in England, this part of England in particular. It's very interesting kind of place, let's put it that way. So we've got a good field this week. We'll go over the outright market here a little bit. Then we'll talk about horses for courses. And we'll also talk a little bit about just current form. So let's start at the top. Victor Hovland is your favorite. Currently the best player on the planet, in my opinion, 13-2 plus 650 to win. Rory McIlroy is next best, 7-1. John Rahm, 8.5-1. Tommy Fleetwood, 12-1. Tyrrell Hatton, 16-1. Matt Fitzpatrick, 18-1. Shane Lowry, 20-1. Tom Kim, Ludvig Åberg, 22-1. Minwoo Lee, 25. Justin Rose, 28. Billy Horschel and Adam Scott at 35. We'll go down to the 50 mark. Nikolai Højgaard, Adrian Meronk, 40. Sepp Straka, Jordan Smith, Alexander Bjork, Aaron Rye are all 45. Vincent Norman, Tom Dietrich, Ryan Fox, all 50-1. So, I think based on current form, obviously Victor Hovland's the best player on the planet right now, and he actually does have a pretty decent track record in this event. 5th and an 11th. 5th last year in the shortened event. This was shortened to 54 holes, remember, because Queen Elizabeth II died. And so they stopped play, and they shortened to 54 holes. Then in 2019, he finished 11th. So he has a decent record in this tournament. Obviously hasn't won it yet. John Rahm's record, not particularly great here in this tournament. I mean, it's not particularly bad either. Actually, it is pretty great. I'm looking the wrong guy. I'm sorry. It is particularly great. Two runner-up finishes. 2019, 2022. Likes this golf course. So, take that back. Always read your Excel files correctly. Tommy Fleetwood. Good horse for course play. 12th and a 13th in 2020 and 2021. So, those are down years for this tournament because 2020 and 2021, those were kind of pandemic times. So, maybe you discount those just a little bit. I know a lot of people are going to like him this week. He's been playing good golf. I understand why. Tyrrell Hatton won here in 2020, in a down year. Very interesting kind of arc for him currently. I saw him last week in person at the Irish Open. He played awful and looked very out of sorts. Looked like a guy who was very frustrated with golf. But that could be a one-week thing. It could happen to any golfer like that. Quick turnaround and all of a sudden, you know, things are better. So keep that in mind. Shane Lowry is a guy I really, really like this week. Won here last year in the shortened form of the tournament. Played well in 2019, played well in 2020. He likes this golf course, likes this event. Billy Horschel, I think you have to play. He's played this thing in 2019, 2021, 2022. He's not been out the top 10. He won in 2021. Had him for that ticket at 50-1, a little shorter this time. But he's been playing really good golf for more than a month now. I think he really enjoys these DP World Tour events. Played well last week. Should like the venue. 35-1 is a click for me. Adam Scott's kind of interesting too at 35-1. It's just so hard to back him because of the putting, but he does tend to fare well on this golf course. So I think he is at least worth a look here. Sepp Straka, I think, is going to get a little bit of love here because of I don't really know why, but it will kind of remind you in some ways of TPC Deer Run, not to equate Wentworth to Deer Run at all. Please don't do that. But some of the tee shots are similar. Lots of overhanging branches required to move the ball around. Could really suit his eye. I like the first round. I actually saw Adrian Meronk play with Horschel and McIlroy in round one when I was there at the Irish Open. But I just find it hard to see a bounce back here. And he does not have really any kind of significant track record to speak of in this tournament. Alexander Bjork, I'm going to come back to time and time again. One of these days, he's going to do what we want him to do. And I think he will win this tournament eventually. 45-1 is maybe a little short. I would like it a little differently if he were like 60, but he is such a good ball striker. He's going to contend every week. I've seen a lot of people on Thomas Dietrich in this kind of golf betting space this week. He's fifth last year, so that's cool. He's been playing pretty well. I'm just not convinced. But 50-1 for a guy of his talent probably is convincing enough to at least throw a couple of shekels down. Ryan Fox might interest you too. Long hitting guy. Had a great week last week. Just kind of clammed up in the final round, but so did everybody else. So don't necessarily hold that against him. Maybe worth a look here. Just putting that out there. At 50-1, follow it up. Maybe a little bit of a narrative to that of, oh, well, he came back and is starting to figure it out again. One week ahead from a heartbreaking loss, maybe he's a guy who then figures it out and wins this even bigger event on the DP World Tour schedule. I'm in love with Yannick Paul. I'm not going to bet him this week, though. What I saw, I enjoyed watching him in person for the first time at the Irish Open, but I'm just not convinced right now. Guido Migliozzi is kind of interesting to me at 100-1. He did have a good finish here last year, but he is just so hit and miss. It's really hard to support that. Tristan Lawrence is interesting to me at 130-1. Kind of an out-of-nowhere good week last week. That's what he does. Just has an out-of-nowhere good week. And boom, you finish top five. So he is extremely streaky. I'm willing to ride that streak for $5 or $10 at 130-1. Then you start to get down to some deeper shots, and we have had that happen in this tournament. Please don't discount the possibility of a deep shot winning here. But if you look at any of the names that have multiple top 15 finishes here in the last 4 years, so since it went to September, and that includes your pandemic year, maybe one of your looks is to Rafa Cabrera-Bello. He's 600-1. So I'll play a little bit last week. Kind of interesting. Actually, I didn't think he played that poorly in the holes that I saw him play. 600-1's just enough of a sprinkle for me that you could catch my attention here. We've had some pretty deep, strange winters in the past. I'm willing to go with it. His finishes were 6th in 2019 and 2022 finished 9th. Good solid numbers. Again, kind of a horse for course play that's so deep that it's crazy enough to work. That might just be a decent idea. That would probably be the only person I would consider really beyond 150-1. Trying to look for value even deeper than that. Hurley Long might be interesting to people because he contended last week. And, okay, 300-1 is not going to kill you. Maybe just take that very carefully. Again, another $3, $5, $10, whatever your kind of low number bet is, just to have a sweat, just in case something happens. But I think most of your value you're going to find really in the 150 or better range, and then probably leave it alone after that. Some people will probably want to consider Alex Fitzpatrick. Been playing good golf. He's been on a bit of a run. I imagine he's probably getting tired. So I might be inclined to bet against that or not bet it at all, depending on what you're thinking about. Like if you find it from a matchup perspective, I will probably leave him alone. He's probably out of gas. He's got his card for next year on this tour. He's ready to go. This is an this is a great opportunity to play in a $9 million tournament, though. So you're not going to say no, but I think he might be out of gas. So there are some other American presences like Tom Hoagie, who seems to really like playing over here. It's kind of cool, but doesn't have much of a record here. Adam Scott is a little bit higher on the board. And he has, as I mentioned, I think earlier, has at least a decent finish in 2021. But I don't think he's in good form. I definitely don't think he's worth a 35-1 rate wager. So that, to me, you kind of want to keep this pretty tight. I think you have to like Wentworth to be able to play well in this tournament. Obviously, better players like everywhere. But Horschel makes a lot of sense to me. Fleetwood less so, especially given the number. Shane Lowry makes a lot of sense to me. Rory makes sense to me. But he's also probably going to get panned a little bit because he didn't finish the deal on Sunday in his National Open. What, he found the water 3 or 4 times in the final round. It wasn't very good. But I still think he's playing really the second best golf on the planet behind Victor Hovland at this point. Hovland and McIlroy, though, being effectively 7-1 each, is just, that's terrible. I mean, that's just not good value, given that this tournament has some really strange winners over the years. I think you have to at least be willing to consider the possibility that something weird happens here and that the best player does not win. I do want to go over the tournament history a little bit. I'm not going to do a winning margin bet. You may be interested in such things. But I just want to go over the winners in the last few years. So let's go back 10 years. So 2013, after Luke Donald went back-to-back. Matteo Manassero, biggest win of his career. Rory McIlroy, Ben Ahn won in a total blowout in 2015. Chris Wood, Alex Noren, Francesco Molinari, Danny Willett, Hatton, Horschel, Lowry. So most of these winning margins, I wouldn't take a winning margin bet. They're all over the place. One is the most common, then two. But you do get the occasional blowout in this tournament. Probably best to just leave that alone, I think. let it go. So we'll look for that winning margin maybe another week on this tour, but not doing that right now. All right, so that makes sense there. Now, I want to take a look at some matchup bets. Look at tournament matchups. I don't like single round matches. I know other people do. I don't. I'll take Alexander Bjork over Vincent Norman, -135 for the whole tournament. Justin Rose and Adrian Meronk is really interesting. Justin Rose has a good track record here, -150 against Adrian Meronk. I think that's bad value, but I would take that side in that wager. Minwoo Lee really has my attention. I'm probably going to bet him. He's been playing great golf. He played well at the Irish Open. He doesn't need a lot of power to get around here. K-Club's pretty tight. I mean, not extremely tight, but pretty tight off the tee, and he managed it pretty well. I think I like him over Nicolai Højgaard this week, -140. Tom Kim really is in my brain this week as a good potential bet. Been striking the ball very well, kind of at an elite level. Starting to get good results again for the last few months, but just he's not ready to win quite yet. But his matchup against Sepp Straka is almost too much the other way. Sepp could like this golf course, +130 instead of -190 for Tom Kim. Almost as a middle finger kind of bet to that line, but Tom Kim is the better golfer there. I think the most interesting matchup that I've seen posted at DraftKings is Tom Dietrich versus Ryan Fox. Again, kind of the two not exactly the same players, but similar in style. They're even at -115 each. I mean, that's terrible juice. I would probably take Ryan Fox. I like his form, but pretty much everyone else on the internet would take Thomas Dietrich. So take that for what it's worth. This is a really good week. I really enjoy this tournament. I hope you'll enjoy it too. It is a fun watch. You can get some good money winners here. Like I said, when Billy Horschel won, he was 50-1. Obviously, now that he's won, he's playing pretty well. That number is not out there. But this is a tournament that can reward really great ball striking and not necessarily great anything else. It can also do the exact opposite. Think about the winners I talked about. Francesco Molinari is a good ball striker, but Matteo Manassero, Luke Donald twice, incredible putters. Paul Casey's won this. He's a horrible putter. So there are a lot, it has kind of a players' championship vibe in that almost anything can happen, and sometimes does. So that's worth a look, at least in my opinion. So really interesting week. There's not a whole lot to add to it. We don't have tons and tons of insight in our database on this. So it is what it is. But it is worth at least having a little bit of action, have a little bit of coffee golf. I like the action here a little bit better than what you might see on the PGA Tour, because you have so much variance potential there, because players haven't played 5 or 6 weeks, maybe even longer, since you've last seen them compete. I would be worried about that. Just keep all that in mind when you're thinking about your wagers between the tournaments this week. You could take a couple deep shots here. Again, Rafa Cabrera-Bello could be super interesting to someone who just wants to sprinkle and have a little fun. I mean, you look at his recent performances. They're awful. He's not playing good. But just enough to be interesting, I think, at 600-1, because he seems to find it on this golf course. So, willing to work with that for $5. But that's my lineup for this week. That's where we're going. So, if you have any questions for me about this tournament or the Fortinet Championship, get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can get a hold of me on X, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, all those things, at Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. We'll be back next week to talk a little Ryder Cup, talk a little maybe Solheim Cup. But we'll have plenty of action to get into as we get into the Ryder Cup, which is, I mean, those two events are going to be huge. There's not necessarily a ton to bet pre-tournament, right? I mean, you get day one draw for the morning, and then you really have to scramble pretty quickly. So we'll talk about kind of principles and see what we're seeing in the way of pre-tournament groupings, what that might look like. Once we have the opening matchups for Fridays, then we can kind of start thinking about who might be playing with who, maybe where that leads us to go, and some teams to back or look at. But in a one-game situation, it's really fun to bet live, but it's not really great value. It's just not. So it's just something to kind of have a few bucks on while you're having a good time, and maybe you take a couple chances with some potential upsets, or you find a team you love and you just hammer them until they lose. But we'll talk about that a little bit as we get closer. Thanks again for your time. Thanks for tuning into the press. We will catch you next week with a new slate of shows. Have a great week, everybody.